FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
So let me be clear on this point. Anyone who aspires to the highest office in the land should not be afraid to stand with the strongest supporters of Israel in America. It is wrong to boycott Israel, and it is wrong to boycott AIPAC.
Well, that's who the Democrats are these days, politically correct to the end, trying to suck up to Ilhan Omar and people who want to apparently see the demise of Israel, one of our strong allies. So good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. That was the vice president yesterday. He went to AIPAC. That is the Israeli-American-Israeli Political Action Committee. He went there and spoke. And the Democrats treated it like a leper colony or something. They wouldn't go anywhere near it out of fear that they would be seen showing support for Israel. The president, in the meantime, had no problem yesterday showing support for Israel. Do you see what he did? He went ahead and signed the paperwork recognizing the Golan Heights, which was fantastic. And we talked a little bit about that yesterday. Long overdue. Don't have any other presidents that have had the guts to do it, but this president did. So I was glad to see that. Hey, glad you're with us today. We got lots to get to this hour. We've got Scott Whitlock coming up. He's going to talk about the overwhelming amount of news coverage that the willing sycophants in the mainstream media gave to this fake Russian collusion story the last 2 years. They so desperately wanted it to be true that we're going to take a look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie over this, and we're going to get to that for you coming up. Got Dr. Randy Tobler at the bottom of the hour. 2A Tuesday today, 7:37. I want to tell you about this. Valinda Rowe is going to join us. She's with Illinois Carry. Do you know, you may not even be aware of this, if you live in the great state of Illinois or the People's Republic of Illinois or whatever you want to refer to it as, a judge has ruled that the FOID system is unconstitutional because it stands in the way of your Second Amendment rights. And we're going to talk that over with Valinda Rowe, who's been involved with the Illinois Rifle Association for a long time and is a member of Illinois Carry. So we're going to get her coming up here about 7:37. That could be a landmark case. Stay tuned for that. Plus, Dan Stacey in about an hour. You know, if you've ever gone and voted in a primary in Missouri, you know that when you walk in, they ask you if you want a Republican ballot or a Democratic ballot. They don't ask you if you're a Republican or Democrat. So you could go in as a Republican and vote on the Democratic ballot or vice versa. And we know we have indications that there have been plenty of cases where candidates have encouraged their supporters to go vote in the other party's primary to try to influence who their opponent was going to be. Claire McCaskill. Not naming names or anything. Dan Stacey wants to end that. He wants the primary system in Missouri to be treated like the primary system in most states, where Republicans vote in the Republican primary and Democrats vote in the Democrat primary, and therefore the candidates that come out of those primaries more directly reflect the feelings of that party. And we're going to talk about that because that's something that's going to be debated down in the House today. So be sure and stick around. We're going to get to all of that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. How you guys doing?
Great. Good. How are you?
No collusion Tuesday.
Should we tell the story of how fooled I was earlier this week?
Are you ready? This is...
I don't know. I didn't think he'd be ready to talk about this so soon.
I'm just a clueless dad sometimes. For all that I do, working hard for you on the radio every morning, I get around my family and I kind of zone out sometimes. So I'm sitting at dinner the other night.
Which I'm sure they appreciate.
Wow. I'm sure they... You get the impression Denise might appreciate that every once in a while. So I'm sitting at dinner the other night, and my daughter is about to get a puppy, and it's going to be her graduation present, and we're talking to her, and I'm like, so what are you told me you considered some names for the puppy? What name? What I don't want to tell you.
I'm like, why? Because I don't really want your opinion on it. I'm like, oh.
This should have been the first red flag.
Yeah,
sure.
How could you
but
not
I'm
on?
Just I'm clueless because the Duke game is on, mm-hmm. right? And I'm sitting at the table with the Duke game playing on my phone.
And the Mueller report's having been
released.
You know,
the Mueller report's been released. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that, right? It's Sunday afternoon. I'm excited about that. I'm a little distracted. I'm like, why would I care what you name your dog? I don't care. I'm not going to give my opinion on that one way or the other. She goes, okay. I said, so what name are you considering? She said, Ruth, and we're going to call it Ruthie. And I'm like, Ruthie, like baby, Babe Ruth or Baby Ruth. Or really? I have a cousin named Alice Ruth. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
That's adorable.
Right? Uh-huh. And I look back in my phone and I'm watching the Duke game.
Yeah.
And apparently, had I been paying any attention, I would have seen the glance between my wife and my daughter, who were both shocked that I didn't, that the name didn't register with me. So I come to work yesterday. I'm telling the story here in the studio. Oh, wow, my daughter's getting this little puppy, and she told us the name yesterday. And they said, what's the name? Trisha and Denise said. And I said, well, it's Ruth. They're going to call the dog Ruthie.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, well, why don't you tell the audience what you pointed out
well,
to
Trisha
me.
And I look at each other like, oh, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Clearly.
First thing that pops into my head.
Obviously, that's what's going on. Well, and your girls.
Boom. Yep. Top of my head blows off. I'm like, what?
I think his head was spinning. I'm pretty sure that the head was spinning.
He looked at us. He goes, no. And then he looked down. He's like, I'm just going to text her. I'm just going to text her and make sure.
I called her when I got off the air yesterday morning. I'm like, I didn't really pick up on this Sunday, but somebody suggested to me.
You're usually more on it than this.
That's who she named the dog after.
She's in law school and they loved
RBG, RBG, RBG.
They loved that movie. They just went and saw that film.
You know what? You know what? I'm not going to say another word about it. I'm just always going to refer to the dog as dog.
Aww.
How about that? Or puppy.
The dog is dead to me.
Or
Ruthie's
cutie.
Okay. Do you think anyone calls RBG Ruthie? I doubt it. So Ruthie is safe.
Oh, Ruthie.
I just need to be more on my game around my own family. I can't even relax around my own family.
Well, you weren't going to. I think the decision's been made, so you weren't going to stop it no matter if you had recognized it at the time or not.
Sometimes as a parent, you fail.
But maybe when they actually have Ruthie in their hands, they'll go, I don't know, she kind of looks like a...
I was thinking, like...
something else.
How about Melania?
Like a Kavanaugh.
How about Melania and we'll call
it
Mel, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been good.
don't let the naming of pets be left up to Mark.
Right, you're scrambling to fix this.
All right. We're going to get to a break, and we're going to get to Scott Whitlock from Media Research Council coming up. 314-241-9797.
There's no question about that. He's done.
Breaking news.
A bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
And on and on and on it went for 2 years. That's not a surprise to Scott Whitlock, his associate director of a Newsbusters, and he's joining us this morning. Scott, good morning to you.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Boy, we heard... those talking points on the left there, that's just one of the collections of sound bites that we put together from the media over the past 2 years. But when you look at the real numbers, the amount of minutes, the amount of time committed to this in a fairly one-sided fashion, it's pretty stunning.
It is. We actually went and counted, and since May of 2017, they did an evening newscast, 2,284 minutes. Total devoted to this Russia probe, and that came out to about 3 minutes a night. It was more than on average than any other any actual Trump policy. And like you said, it was one sided. It's not as though there was much skepticism when it came to this. It was a constant drumbeat of doom and gloom. And this is going to be the end of the Trump presidency. And you would think that after what happened over the weekend, there would be some real soul searching. Wow, we really got this wrong. But of course, there isn't. And then sadly, I don't expect there to be any.
No, there's no soul searching at all. So we know it trumped any positive news on the Trump administration, if you'll pardon the pun. Did any other news coverage during that period of time even come close to this?
Not really, no. I mean, what we've actually been counting the coverage on President Trump since he took office, and the tone of the coverage, and it's been shockingly uniform in that it's been about 90% negative since Trump took office. And so what they cover is a lot of scandals and anything that makes him look bad. But no, there's not been a lot of coverage of policy accomplishments or how, say, like the tax cuts could affect the country. They focus on the negative, and they focus on this Russia probe, and they've been waiting for impeachment essentially since early 2017. That's what the mainstream media has been looking for this president.
And just to be clear, what you've looked at here is airtime, right? Like on network newscasts committed to the issue of Trump-Russia collusion.
Right, and yeah, that's not exactly. We're looking at the evening newscast, which some people, when we tell them that, they say things like, oh, well, no one pays attention to the evening newscast anymore. They're irrelevant. And I would like to say that they were irrelevant. They are certainly less relevant in the year 2019 than they used to be, but they still average, if you put the three together, about 24 million viewers. So people still pay attention to these evening newscasts. And then I would also just add that what we're looking at, yeah, that doesn't count CNN or MSNBC, which, if anything, they're much worse, because those two networks seem to view themselves as a part of the official resistance against Donald Trump.
Yeah, I would love to see what the numbers are. If you just add in the 24-hour news cycle from MSNBC and CNN, I mean, it would be incredible. Axios put out a report from a different analytics company. They said that since May of 2017, they counted 533,074 web articles that had been published about Russia, Trump, Mueller, generating 245 million interactions on Twitter and Facebook and other social media. So if you put all this in its totality, people were overwhelmed. It's not a surprise when you see polls asking people, well, do you think it's possible that the president colluded with Russia? You know, the average American's been covered over by these news stories.
Right. I think that's a great point. They've been bombarded with this, and I think it's actually kind of surprising when you look at President Trump's polls that they've held up as well as they have, because you look at him, he's constantly somewhere in the 43 to 45%. He's not dropped into the 30s. He's not dropped into the 20s. And remember, that is what happened to George W. Bush at the end of his presidency around 2008, that these numbers, though not great, are holding up despite some of the most relentlessly negative coverage that we've seen for any president.
Yeah, well, it's really sad the way that's gone down. Scott, where can people go to look at these numbers themselves?
Yeah, sure. We have all our studies and our reports on newsbusters.org. So if you go there, you can find the studies and also kind of the day-to-day bias that we're covering.
Sounds good. Scott Whitlock, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. Good to get him on here. That is stunning, isn't it? Isn't that just stunning? Listen to Lindsey Graham. Go to cut 19 for me, please.
To those wanting an outcome of removing Trump, you got to be disappointed. To those who wanted somebody to look at Trump without interference, you got to be pleased. To those who are happy that your president has been cleared of working with a foreign power, I think you're a good American.
Well, you know, one thing's the greatest takeaway from that interview we just did was this. In spite of all of that overwhelming negative coverage, print and television media, the past 2 years, the president's approval rating hovers between 47, 48, 49%. It should be 60, if not for all of that negativity. 314-241-9797. The doctor is in. Randy Tobler coming up.
There were spies in our midst. The president of the United States was one of them. He was disloyal, a quisling, an agent of a nation that hates us and seeks our destruction. That man was at the helm of our country, destroying democracy, undermining our values, poisoning this nation from within. It was terrifying. And millions of Americans were terrified. Some wept as they talked about their fear and helplessness. Now we know that none of that was true. You would think the relief at learning this would be overpowering, like finding out a terminal illness was just a cold. The long and bitter war has ended. We are safe.
The doctor is in.
Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list.
Dr. Randy Tobler joining us this morning. You know, Tucker Carlson hit the nail on the head last night that we've been told since before Donald Trump was sworn into office that he was a puppet of a foreign government again and again and again and again. And even today, there are people in the media, Randy, and politicians in this country who won't accept the truth.
Well, I guess it takes a puppet to know one, doesn't it, Mark?
I guess so.
And all of the puppets in the media, puppets of the left, puppets of a long lineage from Lenin all the way down through, you know, every leftist, that you could ever name, including Hugo Chavez and everyone else. The globalists, those who hate America, are puppets of leftist religion in this country. And they have such faith, just like Christians have faith in Jesus Christ and are going to be worshiping come just a few weeks from now, Easter.
Easter, right.
That is their altar. That is what they worship, is just destroy everything that we know as America, and B, destroy Trump, who is trying to restore everything that we know as America. It's natural. So, of course, when you're a puppet, everyone else becomes a puppet, and it's easy for you to name those labels. I watched some of the coverage on MSNBC and CNBC, and I got to tell you, as skeptical and as much as I like to diagnose them as delusionally, absolutely, in the tank for leftist ideology, I've never seen. I was sorry for them. They could not bring themselves to say, "Okay, we think there's obstruction of justice, but you got us. We were wrong." I have not heard one mea culpa. Have you, Mark? And I've searched. I've honestly searched. I haven't heard one.
Certainly not many. Go play cut 17 real quick. Chuck Todd.
What Barr's memo has done is taken the onus off the president, despite it being clear that Mueller's findings did not exonerate the president.
Yeah, it did not exonerate the president. That's what they've hung their hat on now, Randy, is that not only are they not going to apologize, like Chris Cuomo flat refused to apologize. Listen to what Giuliani said to him, in case you missed this. Go to cut four.
I am outraged by the behavior of these networks.
Okay.
Collusion, 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 collusion. No collusion.
Okay, here's my case.
No collusion.
Here's my case.
Apologize.
Never. Here's my case.
Never?
Never. I didn't do anything wrong. These questions are real.
Well,
they needed to be regarded as such.
Treasonous?
And they needed to be investigated.
Yeah, never. He will never apologize, Randy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sad. And I think the most stunning and indicting thing in terms of indicting the left on this whole charade that's gone on for over 2 years now is that line in Barr's report of the report that despite the temptations of being approached by Russian operatives, despite that, there was no collusion. They didn't bite. It's one thing to say we didn't affirmatively, or, you know, Trump and his people didn't affirmatively, we couldn't identify that they affirmatively tried to, you know, rig the election. It's another thing to say, hey, the devil tempted them for 40 long months in the wilderness and they didn't bite. I mean, that is so damning of the left. And yet, it just goes unrecognized. I couldn't see that part of the report recognized on any of my CNBC or MSNBC monitoring either.
No.
I mean, this is delusional. This is diagnosably delusional, Mark. And it's troubling that it's just going to continue. And now they're just going to be on to another agenda. And agenda-driven people are blind. If you're driven blindly by agenda, you're unable to see the truth, and these people just cannot see it. And it's not good for our republic. It is just an existential threat from my point of view.
Yeah, now they want to point the finger. Well, but we know what he does confirm is that the Russians tried to affect the outcome of the election. Thinking to myself yesterday, people in this country have such a short memory. In 2013... Barack Obama and our United States government sent $350,000 to Israel that we now know with a wink and a nod was sent over there to be spent by a political action committee to oppose the re-election of Bibi Netanyahu. The United States has been actively involved in trying to affect the outcome of elections in other countries as far back as you can remember. And suddenly we're shocked that the Russians were trying to do the same thing in our country. The Democrats are just using this as an excuse for Hillary Clinton's loss. And I can't get past that point whenever I watch this coverage.
Well, no, it's the same thing as the pictures that we see of the so-called cage detainment centers for immigrants from Central America that were filmed during the Obama administration. They were built and used by the Obama administration. Look, I can have with liberals like Alan Dershowitz and others. I have healthy discussions with liberals. I want to distinguish between those and the left. With liberals, like, hey, liberals don't like nuclear power because of Chernobyl, and if you have a catastrophic, that's terrible. I get it. Leftists just ignore truth. They just ignore facts, and they do whatever they can do to pursue their agenda. The ends always justifies the means. There is no fessing up when they called a ball and it was a strike by the little square, you know, thing on the prompter on the TV. And I'm amazed that you got to wonder. I'd love to go back and look at the high school and the college performance. I'd love to see the grades of some of the people that are the leftists. You cannot be very smart to just ignore the facts that are in your face and then to lie about them and to tell a narrative over and over and over to where nearly 50%, 45-46% of the people in America believe to this day in a recent Fox poll just last week that there was involvement of Trump and or his campaign with the Russian intervention in our elections. I mean, this is damning of a media that used to be semi-respected in this country, and they've now lost all credibility, and so has our justice system, except for some of Mueller's reporting. I think he made a grave error by leaving wiggle room on the obstruction of justice. A grave error. He's adopted the Comey precedent, right?
Yeah.
Suddenly it's okay to disobey DOJ policy. And, you know, and as much as I like that he went after Hillary in one way, if he wasn't going to indict her, it's policy that you don't say anything. You leave it alone. And now Mueller has adopted a certain amount of that.
It's true, but I mean, it's never his job as a prosecutor to exonerate anybody. There's a presumption of innocence. No. You look at it, right? And if you don't have enough evidence to prosecute, you don't have enough evidence to prosecute. That you can, it's inherently unethical to suggest that there was some criminal wrongdoing.
You haven't gone to the Jerry Nadler School of Civic of Civic Enlightenment, apparently, because the Jerry Nadler School, of whom Adam Schiff is a professor emeritus, don't you know?
Yeah, well, that's true.
So is Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. You said something that is absolutely antithetical to modern American governance, and that is, and justice, that is the presumption of innocence, because they don't acknowledge that on the left. If they find you guilty, as they have before any investigation was done, and even after the investigation is in, you're still guilty. Well, Mueller was our saving hope. He's our right knight riding in on the horse, and he's going to nail Trump. Well, he didn't. Well, Mueller doesn't know what he's talking about, because we are right. Ours is the final, last, and only word. The way, the truth, the life is the left.
Yeah.
Because it's their religion.
That's a great point. Randy Tober, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you. We'll be listening Saturday morning.
We'll be on it.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. Randy Tober there, the Randy Tober Show, 6 to 9 every Saturday morning here on FM News Talk 97.1. 314-241-9797. I will get to your phone calls. What say you? Are you as upset as Randy and I are at the way the media and certain members of the left continue to portray this story? All right. The Reverend Al has chimed in on what's going on with the Mueller report. Because we've been talking about the fact that a lot of these lefty pundits, certainly a lot of the Democrat congresspeople, have refused to acknowledge that the president had nothing to do with Russia during the campaign. The Reverend Al, though, he apparently has a little bit of respect for Donald Trump.
This is a clear day of victory for the president, but I think that the question that he raises that I wanted him to elaborate on is that if all is as we are seeing from Barr's letter, then why did so many people lie? We're talking about 37 indictments.
Okay. All right. So that's the Reverend Al.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
He said he's a clear exoneration, but you knew there'd be a but in there somewhere.
But.
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 All right, let me get to Tom here real quick on line one. Tom, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Love the show.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, first of all, Reverend Al Sharpton needs to go back to school and learn how to spell, I would think. I've been watching this whole thing go down since the very beginning of the election, when Comey went on basically in front of Congress and had his little spiel. Well, I don't understand why they don't turn the tables on this thing and, you know, basically blow it out of the water, because everything the Democrats accused Trump of and the Republican Party is what they were doing. You know, what about, you know, selling the uranium
one? Yes. Yeah.
You know, and how about Benghazi and all the emails and all that stuff? Why don't we open that back up and blow this thing out of the water? I mean, all these people should be in jail. I don't understand this. I'm an ex-soldier. I'm a 62 Bravo combat engineer. I spent 6 years in the Army, and I've watched the country disintegrate. And it's just disgusting. I don't understand.
Thank you for bringing that up. Alan Dershowitz is not the end-all, be-all commentator on this. I think that he claims he was fired from CNN because he was too honest about the whole thing. But I did hear him say the other day, you know, if Donald Trump had come into office and he had immediately insisted on charges or an investigation against Hillary Clinton, that wouldn't have gone over well because we don't do that in America, blah, 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 blah. Well, at some point, you can only take so many punches before you punch back. I agree with you completely, Tom. They need to launch an investigation into who knew what and when did they know it in the Obama administration about all of these allegations, if they've drug us through the mud for 2 years over completely false information.
Right, and it cost $25 million.
Couldn't agree with you more. And, hey, thank you for your service to the country.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Have a good morning. Appreciate that. Yeah, we should definitely go back and invite Mr. Comey, probably Ms. Lynch, not their attorneys, in front of a Senate Select Committee and get to the truth about this whole situation. So somebody's got to know. Was there not a single red flag here? Why would if you suspected that there were Russians trying to infiltrate the Trump campaign, why wouldn't you go to the Trump campaign and say, hey, heads up, we think this might be happening? You didn't do that because you were trying to trap them. That's what it was about.
Get more at 971talk.com.